You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So JMan523 on Twitter said, "You're not yawning. Bart is sighing because he's not working with Chris Carlin anymore."
Oh, man, get out of here with that.
Is that what's going on here?
Not at all.
You sure?
Remember, I chose.
This is new.
Remember, I chose you.
I understand you.
And it's been 3 years by now.
Yeah.
And it's not like Chris has went and like got thin and got a BBL or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? He did nothing to improve himself. He's still the same old crazy.
Listen, Bart, Love should have brought your ass home last night.
She was saying, "I'm a better man because of you."
Love? That's one of the best lines in that movie.
Love
should have brought your ass home last night.
When she put the money on the nightstand for the tickets.
Oh, when Robin did that?
For the tickets.
Yeah, I'm talking about, remember, this is Hallie who said that.
I know.
And that leads right to the song.
Yeah.
That Tony Braxton.
Was it Tony?
Tony sang that song. Love should have run.
Right? Oh, you home last night. I feel like we don't celebrate in vogue enough, but I can't think of none of these songs right now.
You're never going to get it?
Never gonna get it.
Right, they go a cappella.
I'm like, why? I paid for it.
Those were album covers, or CD covers, I guess. They were in the era of CDs. And Vogue came out, and you're just looking at the CD cover like,
whoa, whoa. Remember when Jamie Foxx used to sing, "Arr-ar-ar-ar." Wanda.
But what I was trying to get to is a Boomerang soundtrack is one of the all-time great soundtracks.
Yeah. I mean, that.
Top 10?
Yeah, that Waiting to Exhale. I really love.
Waiting to Exhale was good. I really love
Above the Rim.
Above the Rim is very good.
Bodyguard.
We've done this before.
You ain't know what a hooch, mama. No, you're talking about Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, Deep Cover.
Deep Cover's.
That's one of your favorites. Deep Cover's. Just 'cause you like the one song.
But that's the only one I like. I think I can't remember the rest of the album, but I know Deep Cover.
No,
and you don't stop.
Because it's 187.
No. We don't say that on the air.
Oh.
Eli in Washingtonville. Eli, what's happening, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Listen, man, baseball, it just can't get out of its own way. You know, yesterday we should have been talking about, you know, Aaron Judge's super catch and, you know, the showdown between him and Ohtani.
That was here a we show, are. Yeah.
Here we are talking about a sticky substance. And which reminds me, you ever see, it reminded me of that Naked Gun movie when Rico Belotto went to check the old picture.
It was so sticky.
He went inside a time, he had the sandpaper.
Remember he patted. Yeah, but then when he almost strip searches him, he's like trying everything to do to just waste time.
With the vac?
He pulled out the Dustbuster.
Dustbuster, yeah. They need to remake the Dustbuster, man, with the lithium ion battery.
You know what? The Dustbuster was very usable.
It's convenient.
Thank you, Eli. It was very usable product.
They should
it just
upgrade.
Didn't have enough, dare I say, suction.
Suction.
You know what I mean? Like, I needed it. Here's the funny thing. I needed that product to suck more.
Yeah, they should have a new Dustbuster and call it the Corinne Steffens model.
Excuse me? She changed
the name. That's why I go Corinne Steffens. I want her alter ego. It should be the new Dustbuster. Do you want me to tell you her nickname?
I don't know if I do, but why not? What the hell?
It was called Super. She's in the industry.
I bet.
Everybody out there know who. Listen, I'm not
going
to say it.
Am I going Google?
I want our
call. Can I ESPN computer Google this?
Listen. No.
Jacob's like, no. He gave me the Mutombo.
This is what we want. We want our callers. I wish we had t-shirts to give out. Want our caller to come up and tell us what Corinne Steffens' nickname is. And will it be a good name for a dustbuster?
First caller gets to do Power Hour.
Yes.
First call to get it right. You can call back at 2 and you get to do the Power Hour.
Why is Corinne Steffens a great name for a dustbuster?
800-919-3776. Damn, man. Okay. It's going to be that kind of show today.
Why is J. Will looking like a tan rock right now? He looks like the Rock
for some reason.
He looks like a tan rock. Like the Rock got stuck, got buried at the beach, and stuck his head out there. Got overly roasted. He looked like the Rock. You see this right here? Because the Rock got that thing.
What thing?
The long line on his mouth, in between his nose and his mouth.
Okay.
He's looking like the Rock right now, man. I'm telling you.
Is it a compliment to J. Will?
I mean, nothing wrong with the Rock. He just looks like the Rock.
I think he looks good.
Yeah, he looks like the Rock.
He's the pebble. He's not as big as the Rock. All right. Well, you know
gravel.
What? Let's get to this. By the way, the phone lines just blew up. So you got some people that can't wait to give the right answer on this one. You love a good heel, yeah?
Yeah, I played the heel.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like, you like that.
I mean, I played the heel actually on TNA against Kurt Angle. I was the heel.
Okay. So last night, what we saw in the NBA, of course, was a little get back from the Memphis Grizzlies after they dropped game one. You're doing it again. See, you just did it. You don't realize you do it.
But you know I'm engaged.
How about to tell the audience that this is a boring topic?
It's not.
When the co-host yawns in the midst of it.
I can't control it, man.
You need to. You get some sleep.
I slept 8 hours. I must be growing.
Just going to let that one go. So last night, the Grizzlies beat the Lakers without Ja, which they've been known to do, 103-93. They were actually blowing them out for most of the game. The Lakers did push back later on. And after the game, Dylan Brooks, he loves him some him. And did you see the look, by the way, after the game too? He had his sunglasses on in the locker room.
He's got his shirt open?
Yeah, it's just he really was. He was enjoying it. LeBron went for 28 and 12, but was 1 for 8 from three. They were trash talking each other throughout the game. Dylan Brooks after the game.
I don't care. He's old. I was waiting for that. I was expecting him to do that game 4, game 5. He wanted to say something when I got my 4th foul. He shouldn't have been saying that earlier on. I poke bears. I don't respect no one until they come and give me 40. I pride myself on, you know, what I do is defense and taking on any challenge that's on the board.
I don't respect anyone until they give me 40.
He gave him 28.
He said he's old.
He gave you 28.
He did give you 28.
You gave me 12.
He did give you 12.
28 is greater than 12.
See, this is when you know it's crazy. You are defending LeBron James.
LeBron's old enough to be his daddy.
You are defending LeBron James. Think about where you are in life.
No, I'm just playing.
No, but seriously, think about it.
Yes, it's stupid.
So you don't like this? You don't think that? Because he said, I like to poke the bear. I like poking the bear,
but the way you said it, I don't respect nobody until you give me 40. If who you check get 40, you will be out the league. If everybody you check gave you 30, you'd be out the league. You would be a liability. You would be Trae Young defensively. And if your whole thing is be a great defensive player because you're not an offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, he's a free agent. And I wonder what the market for him is going to be. Because at least Marcus Smart gives you more refined offensive game.
True.
So it's a borderline. It's a line between being aggressive and confident and being idiotic. And he started to come off as a character and a clown, an ass clown. Right?
The clown part to me is...
Because we're not laughing. The thing is, he don't even got any... He's not funny. And he's not swagged
out. So when you're the heel, you need to have like some lines where it's like,
yes.
Okay, that's going too far, but it's too damn funny to not laugh at.
Stone Cold played the heel.
Yeah.
Razor Ramon played the heel. Right? Triple H played the heel. They all got quotable lines. Name me a Dylan Brooke quotable line. Even Patrick Beverley.
Yeah, that's the guy I was going to bring up.
He's an agitator, but he gives you some funny stuff or he makes you laugh. This dude just makes you want to punch him in the face. Looks like Christopher Williams had a son that he never claimed.
What? By the way, too, when you look at him in his post game, all this talk about old and stuff, like that hairline for Dylan Brooks, it's retreating.
It's on its way.
It's definitely retreating.
That train's never late.
Like, there's a lot going on. There's a cul-de-sac happening on that man's
head. If one of his braids fall out, he ain't going to be able to say nothing funny about anybody because he don't look like a dude that's going to go bald head.
Like, he needs some advice from LeBron about the hairline that LeBron had to take care of back in the day. Remember when he had to go fix that?
The problem is LeBron got a hairline, but they didn't do the stuff behind the hairline.
they drew him a line.
They did a line.
He's like Doc Rivers.
Yeah, they etched him out.
Doc's got the like, line, but then look up a little higher, and it's like, I'll tell you what.
Doc got an airbrush.
The crop's really good in the front. But then you get to the middle and it's a little parched.
Yeah, you turn to the side like, we had a forest fire. It's all good.
So you're not with this. Now, game three.
He's corny, man.
With this now being said, do you look at this and think, does LeBron have to now put 40 on him?
No, because he needs Anthony Davis to show up to the party.
Anthony Davis did not play well. 4 of 14.
He's so frustrated,
13
man.
Points, 9 rebounds, 5 blocks, but minus 4, 38 minutes. And again, I look at Anthony Davis as somebody that he used to be at the top when it comes to elite players.
Yeah.
I think he is now top of the second tier. Not because he's talent-wise, he should be a top-tier player.
I don't know if he's a top-tier player.
I don't think he can bring it every night.
Right, he's too young at 30 years old to not be able.
Some nights he looks so damn old.
That's what I'm saying. At 30 years old, not to be able to give you consistent effort, and this is the issue. When you think about the playoffs, now they're about to start traveling all the way from Memphis all the way to L.A., and these games are going to be back-to-back. And he's a guy that doesn't bounce back well when they have to play back-to-backs and travel.
Mm-hmm. And remember, they've had 2 days off. They have 2 days off. And then it's game off, game off, game off, which is why I said early in the series is important for the Lakers to take care of business. Did they miss an opportunity because Ja wasn't in the lineup as well? No Brandon Clark, they still won.
They always play. This just gives them confidence to know that they're the better team.
Yep.
And, you know, they saying, okay, LeBron's going to get his.
Desmond Bane went off in this game early on. He was making a ton of shots. Yeah.
It's like, let's make sure that Anthony Davis don't go off. LeBron can do whatever he wants. Austin Reed, we're going to attack him too because he was a no-show as well. That's the thing. Like, you're supposed to be able to count on
Reeves got
LeBron.
You 12.
You're supposed to be able to count on LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Hachimura got you 20. But, yeah, Reeves was yelling, I'm him.
Yeah, you him.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, to see, like, from game to game how the mood changes in these series. Would you have loved – because, again, your sport was one and done.
Yeah.
That was it. You had one game in the playoffs, and your season was over. Would you – now, you can't do it in football, but the concept of a series, do you like that? The idea that I have to play a bunch of games against the same team consistently because you know how fast you get tired of an opponent. Like, by game three – you've had enough.
Yeah, I like the concept because this is where the teaching comes in. This is when the football or the basketball acumen comes in because it's about being able to make the necessary adjustments and being able to analyze and see what the team did to you strategically and for you to have it. You see it a lot, and where you see it in football is in divisions where you see them twice and you might see them the third time in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it's all about –
like, for instance, when you played the Patriots.
Yeah, three times.
You played them.
We beat them. They beat us.
You got absolutely demolished in that second game. And then you play them in the playoffs, and the mood was always about the last time we saw them.
Yeah.
And I know you guys buried the football, that whole thing, the ceremony.
Well, we changed our strategy up. So, like, they prepared for one thing, and we gave them something else, and it was they didn't have enough time to change and get enough plays to affect what our strategy was for the day. So, you know, that's what I love about it. That's when you know, dumb teams can sometimes win one game off of talent and emotion.
Yeah.
But it's hard to beat two games or three games off of just pure talent. It has to be about strategy, implementing, understanding what's happening to you conceptually. What is the team trying to do and how do you combat that? Like we just saw – you know, in Phoenix, right? Their first game, they're trapping. They trapped Kawhi. Had to find an open man, but also they were trapping KD.
Mm-hmm.
And KD starts skipping the ball to Brooks or to whoever's on the wing opposite, and they either had an opportunity to shoot an open three or get ran off the line and go shoot an 18-footer. And then he switched it up and he started throwing it to Ayton when they doubled him when he was down.
Payton was wide open. Right?
Wide open. You throw it to him, he can turn around and seal his man down. And you throw it in front of him, the court so wide open because of three-point shooting, he got an easy dunk or an easy layup.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love. That's strategy. That's what purists love.
That's the fun thing about series is to watch the adjustments from game to game. The Cavs and the Knicks, the Cavs adjusted, and what they had to do was have an attitude adjustment. But they also had a bit of a defensive adjustment, and they learned something late in game one that they then employed in game two, which was trap Brunson, get the ball out of his hands, like do whatever it takes to make sure that he can't get into one-on-one situations, because in the last regular season game when he went one-on-one on Donovan Mitchell, he cooked him, cooked him. So you had to avoid those one-on-ones, and what they do with it, you get big bodies and you just trap them and run them off. There's only so much of that, though, you can get away with. A, it wears you out as a team. But B, there is, of course, a counter to it, and now we wait to see what Tom Thibodeau's counter is to that. But this Lakers-Grizzlies series, we already knew it was going to be an interesting one. The trash talking that is going on already started during the regular season. And remember, it was in L.A., which is where they're headed now, and it was your boy Shannon Sharp sitting courtside who got into it as well.
Fake Usher.
Yeah, and they all got into it. So there's been a lot of stuff brewing between these two teams. Now the series moves to L.A.
I wonder if Uncle Shay Shay going to be sitting there with he should have a powerhouse shirt with his nipples out like Booker T and like Stevie Ray. You know what I'm saying? Like, let the guns out. Like, yeah. Like, you ain't got no Steven Adams. Like, you want to run over Dylan?
I wonder if there's going to be some people, like, there for Dylan Brooks.
What do you want to say,
after
brother?
After what he said. I mean, think about it. He just called. Like, him just saying it dismissively,
you can't
like
come at the Kane.
Like that. Oh, he's old. Oh, he's old.
Can't like, come like at the Kane. Like
what would
that.
Dylan Brooks say to see LeBron might take it.
LeBron just laughed. Let me go.
If Michael Jordan, the guy who took everything personal,
he'd give him 60.
Right?
He'd give him 60.
If Michael Jordan was playing and he said that about Michael Jordan, MJ would definitely go for 60 in the very, and I took that personally. But LeBron just talked about
and he'd be in his retirement speech. I remember this one time.
Oh,
this bum,
he would have been at the Hall of Fame speech.
One time this bum. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing right now. Yeah, I heard his house got foreclosed on. I bought
bum with a high forehead and fake dreads.
Yeah, I bought it and burnt it.
Yeah. And clip-on dreads. Yeah, I got this guy. LeBron James on the series, he just like talks about that it's going to be a long one.
I mean, at the end of the day, we understand what a series is all about. You know, it's not the first to one win or two, it's the first to four, and you got to prepare each and every game. Every game is its own entity, so you got to prepare for that challenge. And you know, I feel like we was prepared tonight. We just didn't execute as well as we did in game one. For close to 48 minutes. They made adjustments, we made some adjustments, and you know, you tip your hat to them.
Again, that's how it usually goes. Now, just a point here to make. LeBron spoke before Dylan Brooks
so he ain't here to smoke.
Had to say what he had to say. So
I poke bears.
You know, that's something that now LeBron will get to answer in the off day. I'm wondering if LeBron, who, by the way, you know, a lot of stars at that level, they have their media people. They also have other people that will speak for them. I want to see the unleashing of holy hell on Dylan Brooks over the next couple of days because it's coming. It's definitely coming. No doubt about that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network. all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
They got heat now.
Oh.
I just think we kind of forget about them because they kind of like stuck in between groups. You know what I mean? Errors. They're kind of like...
Yeah,
they
Destiny's
like,
Child showed up and you kind of forgot
them. Yeah, they were before them and they were like the women's group like because they're like so talented, acapella and all that stuff.
They're like
the Boyz II Men. They're like the Boyz II Men.
Oh, yeah.
Boyz II Men. They're older than... They're younger than SWV.
SWV and Jade, and there was like a couple of those groups in the 90s that like came out with some songs.
And then Total,
like,
all right. Total tried to be all hip-hopping. You know, they only had one song, Puffy, you know, ruined them real quick. You know what I'm saying? But they were like in between there. But they were about musicianship and singing and harmonizing. They don't get their flowers enough, man. I can't think of a woman's group as unique as them. They were like the Boyz II Men of women.
Pointer Sisters.
That's old.
It's going
though.
Back. It's going back, but still, they had range. They could do. They sang all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, maybe. You know, they were like really.
You
real
forget.
Singers.
You
They're
forget.
Like the
Pointer
Boyz
Sisters sang several different ways. Like they, you know, they were good. It's just old.
I'm sure my mom would text me something.
She will.
Melvin in the Blue Notes.
All right. Well, we've got calls at 800-919-3776 to stack rack and ready to go with
you. How do
you
respond when a woman say never going to get it, never going to get it, never ever going to get it, ever going to get like?
And then
do
she
you
just
say,
and then her friend is behind her going woo 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 woo.
Yeah.
But don't celebrate it.
Yeah, he ain't get
that song.
You ain't get it from her. You can get it from me, daddy.
That's the ultimate friend zone song.
I know a good man when I see one.
Right, that's the friend zone song.
Yeah, man.
Right, that's when you just know, like, nah, not gonna happen. Like, damn, all right. Time to move on.
Always never want a good man, want a bad man.
All right, so this is the point of the show where we step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio File. The Audio File.
All right, Bart, shall we begin with... Let's begin with the news of Draymond Green's suspension, which happened yesterday. Was a big... What are you looking at now?
They celebrating that they can drink water in Flint now. Dude, that was 7 years ago.
It says 9 years, actually.
It took you 9 years to clean the water?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I got a third
nipple.
It's a lot
of filters.
I got a third nipple growing on my sternum. Come on, Detroit. Do better. Flint. Well, we ain't going to claim them for this one.
So Steve Kerr talking about losing Draymond Green for a pivotal game 3. Remember, in the NBA, no team has come back after being down 0-3 in a 7-game series. It has not happened. It's happened in other leagues, not in the NBA. So with Steve Kerr, you're missing a key player. But this is life with Draymond Green.
Extremely surprised, immediate into, all right, what's next? How do we win the game? We know what the league decided to do, and we have to respond accordingly and go out there and go win the game. I've said it many times, we don't have a single championship here without Draymond Green. He's crossed the line over the years. That's part of it. We will go to bat for Draymond and, you know, go to battle with him every day of the week.
Is he just one of those players, Bart, you gotta live
with
because as much as he's contributed to success, you could argue that he's also a reason why you didn't have more success.
That is true, but he has to play with that edge. It's almost like, you know, for the Pistons, Rasheed Wallace. Right,
yeah, he was always
he was
in trouble.
There, and it was always just never knew when he was going to take
Portland,
it too far.
Really,
get those
the Portland
texts.
Version of Sheed.
Yeah, but you know the Pistons version of him was still got in trouble a lot too, as they had a long run with him when they made the trade, won the championship, tried to win another one.
Right,
It's just some players are like that. We all have that. Their emotions and their passion is part of their character and part of the reason why they're able to do things that they other people don't do. Play with the energy because he's a selfless player. So was Rasheed Wallace, Ron Artest, selfless player. But, man, he was the guy that you needed that pit bull to lock in when he was locked in and engaged. But sometimes he loses focus.
Yeah, and then you just had to know how to just live with it and move
Dennis
forward.
Dennis Rodman.
And that, Rodman's another great one as well. And it's just like one of these situations that for them, they've seen this enough to know how to handle it. But now they got to try to win a game 3 without him. And if they don't win game 3, it could be the end of an era. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Knicks are trying to take a 2-1 lead in their series. Game 3 at the Garden. Now, the series shifts to the Garden Momentum is everything. After game one, you felt great. We took calls from fans thinking they're going to sweep, feeling good about life. And you should.
But gentlemen's sweep, right?
Gentlemen's sweep is still on the table, of course.
Yeah.
But after watching game two and how great the Cavs played in that second quarter, that unbelievable quarter, 37-14. Okay, here. I'm here. Focus on me. The worst thing we have is four TVs on.
Yeah, I can't believe she still got this Band-Aid on her eye. It's been like a Marley month and
Rivera.
A half.
Jeez, yeah. We got to have Marley on. Let's get Marley on. We'll get Marley on, too. We have to find out what happened to her. Meanwhile, though, R.J. Barrett is one of the reasons why the Knicks have struggled. I don't think they've played well. They won one game, but the Knicks haven't collectively had a really good game yet in this series. Part of the reasons is I think Mitchell Robinson's been a little soft. R.J. Barrett has also not played well. So the Michael Kay Show had Jeff Van Gundy on yesterday, Bart. Listen to what Jeff Van Gundy had to say about R.J. Barrett and the question of whether or not his jump shot, his game can be fixed.
Well, I think he's really good when he can get all the way to the basket with his left hand. But in the playoffs, they're going to take away your strengths. How big a gap is there between your greatest strength and your next reliable skill is really important, because right now, from a jump shooting standpoint, he just doesn't have that skill. So you can't get all the way to the bucket like over and over again against the best defensive teams in the NBA, which is the teams you find in the playoffs.
That sounds like a no to me. Damn. If you don't have the ability to shoot the jump shot, your ability to drive to the basket now suddenly becomes a problem, because they're just giving you the jump shot and taking away your drive. With that in mind, I've been asked this from some people, Bart. I want to ask you, as a former athlete, and we're in the playoffs now, it's winning time. Should Tom Thibodeau consider limiting his minutes if he can't be effective? Should he say, you know what, I can't play you, man?
Yes. And you consider maybe let him come in with the second unit. And I think you might want to start Josh Hart. And then if you start Josh Hart, you got to ask quickly, I need you and Obi to really, really lead this second unit. That's been one of the best in the league, in my opinion. The Knicks second unit when rolling. And now I do know that future Josh Hart. But you ask him, and maybe that's a more defined role for him, as he'll be going against backup players and not stuck in there against starters that's locked in.
Well, in the playoffs, you don't see a lot of backup players play. You know, like the majority of the minutes went to the Cavs' five starters.
Yeah, but whoever's guarding Josh, when Josh is taking a rest because he's so important, they probably get their rest as well. Because, you know, he's a handful in himself.
Well, it's something to watch for game three. We keep waiting for it. For R.J. Barrett, there's so many reasons in this series for him that got to get right. One is the Donovan Mitchell angle, which we all know the story. He was in the trade package. But the other part of the story is that the guy taken after him in the draft is Darius Garland in his draft. He was the fourth pick. He was the fourth pick of the draft.
So we could have had
He's already an all-star, and he's had a huge impact on the series already.
So we could have had our point guard before Brunson.
If you're better, you got to understand that. That stuff's on the table, and that's the stuff all the fans focus on. All right, how about this part? So you've talked a lot, and you've had a lot to say about Tua Tagovailoa. Yeah. And his concussion issues, and there was some talk of will the Dolphins move on from him. Tua admitted something that I found to be very interesting, is that he considered retiring after that second concussion this season.
I considered it for a time, having sat down with my family, having sat down with my wife and having those kind of conversations. It would be hard for me to walk away from this game with how old I am, with my son. I always dreamed of playing as long as I could to where my son knew exactly what, you know, he was watching his dad do. It's my health. It's my body. I feel like this is what's best for me and my family. So, I mean, I love the game of football. You know, if I didn't, I would have quit a long time.
Bart, what do you think of a player admitting that it got so bad he thought about retiring but then changed his mind because of all the things he laid out there?
I mean, I think that's probably, you know, one of the most honest things that you'll ever hear an athlete admit to.
Agree.
One, you know, sometimes wanting your son to see and understand what you do, that can be vanity, you know what I mean? Can be selfish, right? Because if your son can see what you're doing, but you're not able to communicate with him now, he's going to see what that game took from you firsthand, and you want to be careful because it's about being able to play with him. It's about being able to see him at his prime. It's about being able to do all the other things that come along with it. Now, why sacrifice your body and your long-term health and you can't enjoy that precious time when your son, when he needs you most, which is when he's becoming a young man and starting his old family? So that's something else. But the big thing that I hear is what I've always talked about. He's the oldest of four kids. He has a responsibility, I believe, in his mind that the family made football the family business. When he went to Alabama, they moved his family, the entire family moved to Alabama as well. His brother's at Maryland. His brother's not nearly as good as he is, won't have the earning capabilities to create generational wealth to help the entire family. You know, so it's kind of like Quentin and Quincy. You know what I'm saying? You know, one's good, one's a little bit better. He has an opportunity. He's right there at the doorstep, right? Right now, we just saw Jalen Hurts get paid. Like, he had the number one offense when he was healthy. His team had the number one offense. You look at what $251 million just got him. He's hoping that he can at least get that. And then if he has to retire, the guaranteed money is the guaranteed money. That's $100 million generational money. He hasn't got his big bag yet. He's right there. And
he's hoping to survive one more season and get the bag.
The risk is worth the reward, in his opinion, to what he can do for his family, his mother, his parents, his brothers, his sisters.
Understood, but I feel like when you are at a place that the concussions were that bad, that you're like, I might need to retire here.
But
that does at least, and I love the honesty, but it does kind of suggest that he was scared too.
Of course, he was. This dude, he just passed concussion protocol 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, how about that?
I mean, listen.
That's not great, though, Bart.
But we're
going to watch him next season and probably, like,
if
cringe.
He gets one, if he gets one, yeah, but we watch.
Every time he gets hit.
But we watched this with Troy Aikman.
That's true. That is true.
Troy Aikman got those three, and he was forced to medically retire.
But he'd also already had success. He'd already,
He's had success. He had won the Super Bowl.
It's something to watch, and I'm telling you, it's something to watch in Miami. This is a story to watch this coming season.
And the story is also, who do they decide to be his backup? I don't know if they brought somebody already in, but you know, it's funny.
It's very
important. Enough, Tom Brady, 711.com says, I have a lot of friends on the Dolphins.
That will never go away, will it?
He just said that today.
Mm-hmm.
That just hit my 711.com while we was here.
All right. Well, while we keep checking 711.com, we continue with audio files. One more here. So the Yankees last night it was a fun game at the stadium. A 3-2 win in 10 innings. Torres with the walk-off sacrifice fly. And the Yankees get the dub. But throughout that game were moments. One of them was Aaron Judge robbing Shohei Ohtani of a home run in the first inning. Just a leaping grab center field, catches it, bobbles it. You see, he caught it and then had to catch it with his bare hand.
He didn't even have to jump.
Then he kind of does like the little finger, like, you know, like they kind of acknowledge each other. That was cool. And then he goes and then hits a two-run home run of his own. That was, you know, a blast as well. So that's a lot of fun. And you know, there's all this, all right, Ohtani's in New York, so let's talk about whether or not he's going to be available. Jeff Passan was on Get Up this morning, and he had a conversation with Greeny. And in it, he said something that if you're a Mets fan, if you're a Yankees fan, if you're a Dodgers fan, you need to pay close attention to, and this is worth watching.
There's one number that we need to be looking at when it comes to Shohei Ohtani's future, and that is the Los Angeles Angels record. Because as long as the Angels are in contention, as long as the Angels have hope for a playoff spot, Shohei Ohtani's probably not going to be traded at the deadline this year. But if the Angels fall out of contention, and if, you know, it's just more of the same as it's been over the last 5 years that he's been there, he could be traded and he will definitely leave. And seeing him at Yankee Stadium, seeing Aaron Judge rob him of a home run, seeing him hit another earlier in the series, seeing him do everything that he's been doing for the last 3 years when he's been the best player on the planet, shows you why the Los Angeles Dodgers and New York Mets are going to be the two teams that are butting heads with the Giants and the Yankees and the Mariners and perhaps others on the periphery to pay the guy $500 million plus dollars. That's where the bidding is going to start, and it's only going to get higher than that because this guy is simply better than everyone.
I mean, this is, imagine that you're rooting for a team to lose more than this. You can't possibly have a bigger, there's about five teams that want to see the Angels do what they always do, which is suck.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's rooting for this because it frees up somebody potentially. I mean, Passan is basically saying that they will then look to move him if they have no chance of winning this year, because they know that he wants to test free agency.
Listen,
and they'll get a ton for him. And you, I mean, think about what is you're willing to offer for a guy like this, and for the opportunity to give him $500 million.
Maybe 600. I think he's worth 60 now.
Well, if you get enough teams that are going to go head-to-head, and you heard him mention the Dodgers and the Mets, I have a feeling, and you're right, Steve Cohen's got more money than anybody in the league.
And this is about selling tickets.
You're
going to
tell me that if Ohtani says, I'll play in New York, Dodgers are close, it's a little bit easier, maybe I'll go there for 500, and he's like, 550. Oh, okay. No, I don't know if 550 will get it done. How about 600? Like, I mean, you're right. I can't imagine that Cohen could be outbid if he wants him that
bad. Because you're going to get everything. It's not just an outstanding baseball player and leader. It's not just a pitcher and a big bat.
Marketable
you get both.
Guy?
You get the pitcher and the big bat. And now this guy gets to learn behind Scherzer and Verlander.
Learn behind him. He could join him.
No, what I'm saying is
learning behind him. This is Justice League.
No. Because, like, Ohtani is a good pitcher. They're great pitchers.
Ohtani's a very good pitcher this year. Look at his ERA this season.
Yes, he's a very good pitcher. They got three side
yards. Well, I get what you're saying. Okay.
They can take him pitching-wise to the next level and how to be a great pitcher over the duration as your body changes.
And the Mets get that big bat that they need with Polar Bear.
He's two players in one.
Something, man.
And then I think that
– I'll give it to you. I think it'd be fun to see him as a Yankee and all that stuff. I'm having fun with that.
Yeah.
But as far as fit, the Mets are the best fit. On the East Coast. But the right fit is probably the Dodgers.
Yeah, and I think Pete Alonso is a more forgiving superstar where he'll be in the shadows. Judge still casts a big shadow. Them two back there.
I think Judge would welcome him with open arms.
I mean, he reckoned in Stanton, but he wasn't him yet.
But No. He and Judge have a great relationship.
I know. What I'm saying is he wasn't him yet. Now Judge coming there.
Ohtani would look at it like, I wouldn't be the biggest star here, but with the Mets, I'd be the biggest star. With the Mets, he'd be the biggest star that franchise has ever seen.
Yeah.
And the other biggest star they've ever seen that was on that team has a statue out front.
Yeah.
And I'll give you Piazza in that conversation as well.
Yeah, Piazza could go.
No. Piazza was a big star, man.
Yeah.
But this guy shows up? This guy?
Whew. Right. You want to be one of many great stars with the
money.
Yankees, or you want to be him?
Yeah. Him.
We want him.
You want him. All right, that's Audio Files. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Dre. Thank you, Ray.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Usually it's rare that you have a group where all the girls are fine. All of them was fine.
But there's groups where, like,
it's always one like, eh, like you go, like, you go
like
to,
they're not threatened by this one, like the one of them.
Yeah.
She got the best voice, though.
Yeah. You go to escape. You're like, eh, Candy, Tiny, SWV, like,
yeah.
Like,
I'll give you SWV.
Yeah,
like, they can sing, though.
Yeah, you're just like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
Get to Beyonce, it's like, like Kelly, cool. Michelle, a little too
what was that group? That Wilson Phillips was like that.
Yeah.
That's not, it's more of like a pop music group.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing, like Wilson Phillips, the one she was like, damn. And then after that, it's like, man.
They brought LaToya Luckett into the group. They're like, oh, hell, you got to go. You too damn cute. Hell no. Beyonce was like, nope. Hell no.
She can't come in here.
Get her up out of here. She lasted. She didn't even last an album. She lasted a single. They put a single out like, jumpers, like bumpers, my bootylicious. Like, oh, hell no. She's too bootylicious. You're going to be upstaging me. I'm the queen. Hell no.
Oh, man.
Did they have another one with the gray eyes? They kicked her ass out, too.
Gray eyes?
Yeah. Let me look at the Destiny Child iterations.
You do that, and we'll talk to Art in the Bronx. Art, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm going to start with a question for Alan. What you know about the Pointer Sisters, man?
Oh, I know enough.
Yo.
I know Alan's enough.
Down. No, Alan, I want to know what Alan know about the Pointer Sisters.
What do you want me to know?
You know more than me.
I mean,
were they fine? Were the Pointer Sisters fine?
Was a Neutron Dance in Beverly Hills Cop 2? Right?
Man, the Pointer Sisters was one of the best women groups.
They had it. They had so many. He's So Shy was like a great. I remember that from when I was a kid. But the song that I loved. The song that I thought was incredible that still holds up today is Automatic. Because it sounds like a,
oh man, you're not lying.
It sounds like a Prince song. Like I mean, you listen to it. That's a Prince song. But they sang that that's a great song.
And the one who leads with the song, she sings. It almost sounds like a man because she sings real low.
No way to control it. Yeah, she definitely has that right.
The world is all down.
Yeah.
All the monsters stones down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, she was great.
Yeah, it was Anita. Well, Anita was the one who sang it. Anita Pointer. She sang it.
Right. Wow. But now there's only I gotta do
me some research. I ain't up on the Pointer Sisters like that. My mom hit me up on the point.
The 90s groups were named, man. All the 90s groups was bad, but the baddest one was En Vogue and Brownstone.
Yep.
Oh, Brownstone.
Oh, yeah, them little natural hair.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one,
man,
too, man.
Brownstone. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Now you got me he's going to have me
hit.
Googling Brownstone
Michael
now.
Jackson discovered them.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson discovered Brownstone. I still can't believe they only had one hit.
Yeah, man.
Do you love me? Prove it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, they went in. Frere Franklin is also a forgotten Destiny Child member. That's the one that looked like she had the gray eyes. Beyonce was like, oh hell no. They're like, nope. And then LaToya Luckett came.
You couldn't be better than Beyonce. If you was better than Beyonce, you had to go. Nope. That's a fact.
LaToya Luckett came in.
Oh hell no.
So it was Franklin and LaToya Luckett. And I think they pop trying to holler at him too.
But I want to get to what we don't talk about much because nobody cares about them, and that's my Brooklyn Nets.
Alan, you can put Alan under that. That's what I was talking about.
Go ahead, talk about the Nets. Can they get two in this series? Can they get one in this series?
Well, I'm going to pop that balloon real quick, and I'm a Nets fan. I've been a Nets fan since the Dr. J and Rick Barry days of the ABA.
Okay.
This team ain't good enough, man. This team ain't good enough. I don't believe they could beat any other team in the sixth in the playoff field.
They can beat Minnesota.
Because No, they can't. Okay. Listen.
Now, what are they missing?
They don't have an inside game.
That's true.
They can't defend. And they've got tops. Three guys who would be starters on other teams. Bridges, Claxton, and Dinwiddie. The rest of these guys are backups on good teams.
What do you think of Dinwiddie as your point guard, though? I feel like they got to upgrade that position.
No, Dinwiddie's got to be the shooting guard, and they got to upgrade the point guard. They got a bunch of wings.
They do.
Other than the few players I mentioned, they got a bunch of wing players who can't defend. And see, when they had Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they were leading the league year after year in points scored, and that was enough to cover for the lack of defense and the lack of inside game.
True.
But now, with those guys gone, the fact is they had a losing record after they dealt Durant and Irving. And this team is and the reason why they qualified for the playoffs instead of the play-in was because the record they had before they traded Durant and Irving. Let's face it.
I mean,
because after they traded Durant and Irving, man, they had a losing record.
Yeah, the work they did, right, that got them into the playoffs. They did have to, they did struggle, and you knew that was going to come. But I'll tell you what, Art,
yeah, sure.
they
they've got an offseason now to figure out what they're going to be next, right? Like, sure. this isn't a team that you go a full season with.
Got all them wings they can sell.
No. Exactly. No, teams always want wing guys.
You would have said exactly my next sentence.
Okay.
That this is not a team you're going to play a full season with. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
They got to make moves. They got to make changes.
Yep.
But they got cap room. They got a bunch of wing players.
They got some picks.
Who other teams can use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Three-team trade, baby. Dame Dollar, let's go, baby.
All right, I appreciate the call and that walk down memory lane as well. That was a lot of fun. I love that stuff, man. I love when we start bringing up bands we forgot about, right? Groups we forgot about. That's always fun.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.